that's the first who built the malach. But it's not that he's seeing himself that he's doing his evil ways, and then Abraham has a malach. This is not a malach yet. Just as Mary. Now that his son who rested with the son. As far as malachas are concerned, if you have a cloud that Rashi mentions, it's a head and that's not a problem, and I'll see on our book that I've read him, you can never have a malach of the Shevi Altar. All malachas have to be the Kumbi Asher. Both when it comes to malach of the Raisi, and when it comes to malach of the Rabbon, we have to have a malach of the Shevi Bon Raisi. The Luki Yosef and Rabbi Kamehs, who came to Sasha, how the woman permitted to bench lift on Friday afternoon, and the camel continued to burn into Shabbat, if he might have explored it,
that doctor who had to be Mechal Shabbos to save the greatest life,
to charge money, I'll buy it, but you should give all the money away to itself. The head part should not have sent anything. But everything else is you're not allowed to go back home. Although we have a din that if you went to treat a Yiddish patient, that you see yourself in Mishum Chilosim, we allow you to do it during the Rabbona. To get back home, that you should be comfortable, but because that's only to encourage you, we see yourself in Mishum Chilosim, to encourage you to make sure that you'll go in the first place. Because if you tell the doctor, go, you have to be Mahal Shabbos and go and save the patient's life, and you get stuck all the way over there. So the doctor was over here, he told me I have to go to Washington High. And I'll be stuck there for the rest of the Shabbos. No, this is family, this is children, this is everything. The host of the Shabbos said, he may not be so excited about going in the first place. You have to tell him in advance. You should know that you're permitted to violate your son's Rabbona. Now your son's Rabbona. You're allowed to violate your son's Rabbona in order to come back later on. But if some person says, I'm Ezra, I'm Amuri, when you allow him to see yourself on the Shabbos, you have to allow him to come back. You have to save the patient's life. In order that he should be encouraged in the first place to go to save the patient's life. That's not the same as somebody else's life. But let's say my life is in danger. My life is in danger. So I have to, I drive the car to the hospital, I call up the doctor, I do all the walk, and I go to the hospital, and he cures me. You're going to tell me I'm allowed to come back home with the insurance that I've gone? Because if I won't, if you won't tell me I'm allowed to come back home, I won't mind going to the first place to save my life. If you can do this, but a person saves his own life, you have to encourage him to save his life. You don't punish it. If the Shabbos, whether I should go, ruin my Shabbos. To save someone else's life, then I may be lazy about it. But if a Chachamim says, they give me a cooler. If I've already saved the other person's life, they allow me to violate the Surah Rabbanah to come back home in order to encourage me in the first place. But over here, the Chachamim says, when I'm a Chalim, when the doctor goes to the Chalim Shabbos to save his great life, what's the answer to save his great life? No, to save his own life. But I'll be called Nefesh on me. If I don't take care of him, they may kill me. And they can pogrom the cooler. So he says, you don't have to encourage me. To save my own life, because there's no heter to save Mishum Tzilus. There's many parts that are very interesting to it. Every paragraph has another fascinating creature. There has a natural, but he also distinguishes, in his Zayrus, he distinguishes when a doctor rides in his, he has an important buggy. He says, the one who's riding, the guy who's riding the horse, who's sitting the horse, he's doing the Easter of Reich Magabi Asus. The Easter of the Rabbanim, if you're not allowed to ride on a horse, if it's there, Rabban, he's doing that. He said, but the one who sits in his chariot is doing the Shevi Al-Tasi. He's not making the horse go. But since he's doing the Shevi Al-Tasi, he doesn't violate that. He says he's coming on me. Well, the Nochri, the Jewish doctor, asked the guy to do what office for him, and he discussed he's going to cook for Kun, and discussed his Rosh Matali Behem, and look, there are all kinds of, he discussed all the different shadows involved, all the different elements of the shadow. But he distinguishes that in Zera, you always have to see how the Zera would work. For example, Shehiyah. Shehiyah, you always violate the Shevi Al-Tas. If I leave food on the fire and it goes young to fire, without a blech, the nature of that Gzera, by its very nature, it's always going to be the Shevi Al-Tas. It's never the Kumbi Yaseh. And that was the nature of that Gzera. Another Gzera, you can only violate the Kumbi Yaseh. That's what Degli Tal says over here. Degli Tal says, wait a minute, I'll sit down in bed. I'll ask the Nochri to put the hot water bottle on me. So that'll constitute a Shvus, a Shvus. That I'm asking him not to do it, and the thing that he's doing, if I would do it myself, would only be the Rabban. He says, that's not a Shmuzah Shmuz. The Yisra of Rafua is not an Yisra doing the Maisa HaRafua. The Yisra is having Rafua applied to your body, that's the Xayra, Rafua, Shemi, Shah, Saraman. So it doesn't matter whether I put the hot water bottle on myself or I have a Nafi put it on for me, I am violating the original Xayra of Rafua the Shah. It doesn't lower it. I ask a Nafi to do it for me, it doesn't lower it to become a Rabban, a double Rabban. Still on the same level of the Rabban, still the same Yisra of Rafua. You find this in other areas also. For example, this is a common child that comes up. Let's say you have a shul, has a kiddush on Shabbos, or a bar mitzvah, whatever, a chosin. And you want to serve something warm. So how can you serve something warm? Because you leave it on the fire from Shabbos at the expense, and it may dry up, whatever. So it's easier to have a goy, you put it in the fire on Shabbos. So the question is, are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to ask the goy to do any malachas on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Brura quotes, Reish Nun Gimel, Tifei, and the Bira Alacha, this is a very important Bira Alacha. Bira Alacha, Lahachin Hasdeira, suppose the Shulis Mahadid, with Makel, if you have, let's say, a Knishas for something that will fully cook with Old Yom, it's cooked already. So if I myself will take the Knishas and put them on the fire to eat them up, that will be Ein Bishol HaHabish. So there's no reason for it, it's only Nisa Dirabar. What if I'll ask a Nochri to put it on the fire for me? So the Mahadid says, and sure, but that's permissible because that's a Shulis, a Shulis, so Machin Mitzvah. I want to have a warm meal, you can do this with everything there. I can call in a goy. I don't need a black. I can call in a goy. I mean, I don't need to leave all my food on a black. Like, I'll call in my extra neighbor in the goy. I'll ask him to take the food out from the refrigerator and put it on the fire. But that food, where if I heat it up, if I'll ask him to put on a pot of soup or a kettle of water, and if I myself put on the soup or the water on Shabbos, that'll be on Avera, that'll be on the Lachadera, right? But that you're not allowed to ask the goat to heat it up. It's a lot of delight. But to ask the goat to reheat the chicken or the flesh, that same Ishla HaVishal, even if I myself would do it, it would only be an Issa de Rabbanan. Let me ask the goat, it would be a Shmuz Shmuz. The Shmuz Shmuz is also not allowed, except for Makam Mitzvah, no, Elo HaVitzvah G'dayim Mizuk, wants to have warm food on Shabbos. So the Maharit says that it's a Mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah says, even though the Maharit has a convincing argument, all of the Pesukim on the Daf disagree. The whole Shulchan Aruch says that it's not allowed. The Ramah, the Taz, and the Magen Avraham. And everybody says, you're not allowed. The Shari Tshuva, in one place, refers to this Maharit, and he also doesn't accept it. It's not accepted by the Shari, why not? But it's such a good argument. He ought to be right. Isn't it a Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, that it should be allowed? So the answer is not. The answer is that it's not. What's the reason why you're not permitted to take chicken and put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos? That's not a malacha de rabbanon. If that would be a malacha de rabbanon, then you would say, if I didn't do it myself, I did it by day goy, then that's a shmuz b'shmuz. It's not a malacha, it's only a gzeira. If it's gzeira, we are afraid that if we will allow Yisrael to have its food returned on top of the fire on Shabbos, we are afraid he will poke around in the cold. Gzeira, sheme yechata de gzechol, and they call it mechabo mal, he may do malacha. So whenever it's a gzeira, it can sometimes be b'shevi al-tasa, sometimes be b'kumi al-tasa. It all depends on ha-chamin, where is the gzeira. So here, the Shulchan Aruch says the favorite that the Gzeir was worth, the Shevi Altas, because the Ramah has the following in the favorite. Ramah has, what if a goy walks into my house? He wants to do me a favor. And he takes out the chicken from my refrigerator and he puts it on top of my fire. So the Ramah says, on Shabbos, he puts it in my, I didn't even ask him to do it. He comes and he does it on his own. Then I come home from shul, whatever. I walk in and I see that he did it to me. So the Ramah says that I must remove it from the fire. I'm not allowed to leave it on the fire. Why? I didn't do anything to Kumi Yaseh at all. I didn't ask him to do it. He did it all on his own. So the Ramah holds that the Easter, the Gzeira of Shemiya, the Gzeira of HaChazorah rather, Shemiya means to leave food on the fire from Friday, without a blessing. And Zorah means to put food back on the fire. Put food that's not on the fire, on Shabbos, put it back on the fire. So HaChazorah is the Gzeira of the Rabbanon, that this Gzeira can be violated to Shevi Al-Tasa, even without me lifting a finger. Having my food returned on the fire on Shabbos is a Gzeira, and the Rabbanon, even if I don't do it to Kumi Al-Tasa, even if it happened to Shevi Al-Tasa, the Goy, the next name who came in and put it on, I violate, the one whose food it is, violates the Gzeira of Shema Yechati B'Gechon. So that's why we don't accept this Kula of the Nahari. What the Lord help us all ask the Goy to put back the food on the fire? What would make it a Shmuz? No, we didn't know the Shmuz. It's the same violation of HaChazor, whether I do the HaChazor, or someone else does the HaChazor, and I begin to use it. The Goy did it, it does it without consulting me. The Ramah says that I violate HaChazor. The fact that I ask the Goy to do the HaChazor for me does not lower it down to consider it a lower level. Doesn't make it into a Shmuz Shmuz. That's the original Shmuz of HaChazor. You find this in another place also. The Magen Avraham is in a Shimon Ches, the Kotten Dalet. And the Mishnah Berurah there, the Kotten Yud, talk about playing music on Shabbos. The Mishnah has that when a third is permissible to play music on Shabbos, they play piano, they play flute, and a third is allowed. If it's there, the Rabbanon, Shemi Yitzhakin Klai Shul. We are afraid that the piano may be broken and they want to fix it in them. So the Magen Avraham raises the question, what if you have a Shabbat broken on Shabbos? I don't know if you have a chot or whatever, and it's a mock and mitzvah. So the mock and mitzvah is still not allowed. So what if I'll ask a nochri? I'll ask a goy to play music for a Shabbat broken on Shabbos? Bridge, whatever. Is that permissible or not? Did you consider that? The shrewd is from Makan Mitzvah. So he quotes some parts from the whole Devon. And the Mishnah quotes to the Makan Avon that the Haskam of Tachrayim is that it's not allowed. Why not? If it's a convincing argument, why not take both of the shrewd, the shrewd? The Makan Mitzvah, I'm asking the Lord to play music. They're asking the Lord to do anything that is of any Rabbanan. And if I myself would play music, it would only be the Rabbanan. So that he considered a double Rabbanan, which from Makan Mitzvah we pass him as always Mitzvah. But the answer is no, because here it's not a malacha. You're playing music, it's not even a malacha de rabbanon. It's only a gzeira. We don't allow you to play music, which is a davar mutar, unless this will lead you to do a davar hazir. Whenever it's a gzeira, so you can violate, sometimes gzeira can be the kumbiya, say sometimes they can be the shevi al-tasa. It all depends how the chachamim instituted the gzeira. How do they word the yitzah? By a malacha de rabbanon, by a malacha de rabbanon, you can only violate malacha de kumbiya, say if you do some mice. If you don't do a mice on Shabbos, then you're not violating the malacha. That's the problem. When it comes to Xeris, you can violate Xeris sometimes in Shem Al-Tasa, sometimes in Kumi Al-Tasa. For years, in Makhlekes Achronim, how is the Nusach of the Xeris of playing music, how is it formulated in Lechatchila? But some Achronim say the Yisr of playing music on Shabbos and Yom Kippur is an Yisr, that you should not play music. The one who plays music, we're afraid that he will fix the Kishir. Another person that we follow say, no, the Yisr is that I shouldn't have music played for me. Even if I don't play the music myself, I ask the Goy to play it, fact that I guess the coin doesn't lower it to make it already a lower level. It's not a shooter shoot. It's the same original shooter mashmiyako, and I have music played for me. On Shabbos, we are afraid that if I hear the music is not playing well, I may go over and fix the organ. I may go over and fix the piano. But that's not considered a shooter shoot. That's considered the original shoot itself. The fact that it's on the Nakri doesn't lower it to consider it a lower level. The original reform who instituted the organs in the shul had two, originally they used to be oitihapis, to have oitihachin, all the cheshin, why they did things. So originally when they started, they had two reasons. The original frumer reform said that the shul is a mitzvah. They want the organ to play in the shul to enhance the service. Come up a mitzvah. And they had goyim play the organ, they didn't have Jews, so the shul is a shul, come up a mitzvah, it's a goy. Playing music. But it is a day like that. The Mogen Avraham, as you mentioned, Shimon HaTzeis, the Kotz and Dalet, had such a sheet and Kotz, and that was one halakha they had. So we gladly don't accept that. It's not generally accepted. We don't invite, we don't have going and playing music by Shabbat Rochers. On Shabbos, by a bit, on Shabbos. Even if on the weekdays we would do it, on Shabbos we wouldn't do it. Why? Because we assume that that's a violation of the claim itself. The fact that I have to go, it doesn't lower it to consider it should be true. The fact that the music is being played for me makes it very that I may go and fix the Shemitah situation. And others, years later, the later reform were the organs in shul, but they had a different mahalach. Not that you did goy, to have a goy play the organ, you can have a Jew play the organ also. How come? Because in the days on Migdosh, there were demons to play music. I used to have there, you're not allowed to play music on Shabbos, that's it. And Shabbos on Migdosh, you don't introduce any Shabbos in the days on Migdosh. In Kaga, do that, you don't know, a Beit HaKnesset, in the Migdosh Miyad, Tosik said, you have a Migdosh Miyad. Therefore, we apply here also the principle of Eshur Zamir. So, unless anybody thinks that this is a late Zamir, Eshur Zamir, and this is Shmiyat, so reported to the Ferish of Ramoth, the Ramoth is the Ferish, it's the Benoirish in the Beit HaKnesset, it's such a big Benoirish, it says, even under the dinner, it's Mukta, Ramoth says you're allowed to touch him on Shah. The Benoirish has done the Beit HaKnesset, he's permitted to touch on Shah. But the Ramoth, he's permitted to touch the Beit HaKnesset on Shah. So, why? You see that Ramoth holds in their head that even though it's Mukta, this is a complete distortion. Look at that Ramoah. The Ramoah that they quoted, you look it up, this is a very different reason. He said that the Yisra of Mukta is an Yisra to move Mukta. But to touch Mukta should really be Mukta. Unless it's a light object, which by touching it, we're afraid that it may move it. So then you're not allowed to touch it either. What if it's a very heavy object? It's nailed down to the ground. Or a car. Touch a car. It's not so easy to push it. If I touch a car like this, maybe you'll push it. But touch across sideways, if I touch this over here, it's not going to move. So the Ramah says, the very Hagdol is the Beis HaKnesset, it's nailed down and it's so heavy that it's not easy to move them at all. Unless you really give a big shove, so he says, then it's permissible to touch it, because no hashash that he's going to move it. And all these Rav Mukta is only moving Mukta. He doesn't give this reason. He doesn't say because it's Eish Lutz on Migdosh and Beis HaKnesset on Migdosh Miyah. That was not a joke that they said, a complete plot. But the other times that they had, that if you have a goy playing the music, that should be a shvud, the shvud mitzvah, that has a makar. The Magen Avraham quotes a series of achleves acharim on that. And the reason why we were machmir, the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah quotes, the reason why we're machmir by a shevet brachas and by a bris on Shabbos, that we don't have a goy playing music for us, is that we assume that playing music on Shabbos is not a melacha deraisa, it's not a melacha derabbanan, it's a gzeirah. And as a gzeirah, it is possible to violate a gzeirah b'shevi al tas. It all depends how the gzeirah was formulated. So here, we assume that the nature of the gzeira was not to have music played for you on Shabbos. So similar to all of this, that's the Degli Talsin, getting back to what we started, the Degli Talsin, it's all sit back and I'll have the Nochri apply the medication to me. I won't say that that's the Shvuz. They come here with the Nochri, which is already the Rabbanan, and I'm asking him to do a refu, which itself is only the Rabbanan. So it's a double the Rabbanan, so it's Mutzah, the Makam Chaylin, the Makam Tsar, the Makam Mitzvah, the Makam Nafsi Merubah. He says that the Cheshbon is wrong, because the one who has the medication applied to him, it's violating the Gezer, even though he acts completely to shave out that. So this is not a malacha. If it's one malacha, the rise of malacha, the rabbon, and then we have Rashi's cloth and Tahed and Salafah, that you can't violate a malacha if you don't have some kumi aset. You have to have some kind of a positive action. You can't violate a malacha passively to shave the altar. But Hayyoy said it's not a malacha at all. It's only a Gezer. So this shah has to violate a Gezer to shave the altar.
Last week we brought down four kulas by Chaylish and by Sakana.
Right.
And we said that the whole basis of a heter in each one of those kulas was the fact that it wasn't a malacha deraisa, a malacha derabbanan, but it was a gezeira.
Right.
This week we're saying from Fakert, we're saying that if it's in the getter of a malacha deraisa, a malacha derabbanan, it'd probably be not machmir, but the fact that it's a gezeira makes it machmir.
Punkt in the following sense, when we list off the three surim that are forbidden on Shabbos, you have Malacha the right with the word, then you have Malacha the Rabbanim is the next, and then lower than that is Xavier. Sometimes we have cases, the second case, the Chayel HaShemes HaKam, the one who's sick in bed, or who's not sick in bed, but he just can't function normally, such a person we showed last time that we allow for him Xavier, but we don't allow Malacha, even Malacha the Rabbanim, right? Because that's Xavier at the lowest level of Issa, but because Xavier is at the lowest level of Issa, therefore you have a Chumrah thrown in. Here we can have this kumr. That malach is, you can only violate the kumr yaseh. Whereas there is, it all depends on the chachamim formulating there. Some there is will always be shevi atas. Like I mentioned, shehir. Shehir means leaving the food on from Friday till Shabbos. It's always violated the shevi atas. And hachazorah the Ramah says also, if the goy puts it on my fire without asking me, it's also, I violate the hachazorah, right? It's because it's a low level. There is another distinction also. Take for example, also a little bit of a paradox, but after you think about it, you realize it's not strange. Let's say I'll do Malacha Aydei Shinui. So if I do Malacha Diyar Raisa Aydei Shinui, it lowers it one level and it's not considered a Malacha Dirabana. I'll do Malacha Dirabana Aydei Shinui, it'll lower it further, it'll be considered a Shuas B'Shuas. So if it'll be Malacha Tsar, Malacha Mechayla, Malacha Hesimru, Malacha Mitzah, I'll be allowed to do that. Malacha Dirabana Aydei Shinui. What if I'll do a Zeir Aydei Shinui? Let's say there'll be a Shevabrach. And I want to play piano. So I'll play piano with my toes. I'll stand on my hands and I'll play piano with my toes. I'll violate the same, maybe piano is different, so the Shulchan Aruch, the Kori Yishami, a lot of clap hands like this. Aydei Shinui is mutter, that's what the Perish Yishami. Not that Aydei Shinui is mutter because it's a double Dirabon. No, because whenever it goes, Aydei Shinui. Because you remember that it's Shabbos. Maybe if I play piano with my toes, maybe it will be mutter. Different. You can do such thing. But let's say I'll do another Xera. I'll violate some kind of Xera, Aydei Shinui. Shinui won't make it a lower Easter. Shinui only makes a Malachre. Because the din is that by Malach you have to have Malachas Machshavah, because the third cause is Malachas Machshavah. Do I day Shino? It's not called Malachas Machshavah. But when it comes to Xeris, it's not a Malach in the first place, and it's still forbidden. It's a Dover Hamutter. A Xeris is a Dover Hamutter. We don't allow it, lest it lead to something else. So since it's only Xeris, Shino will not affect it. It will be the Zelda violation, will be the same violation of Xeris, whether I day Shino or Shino. So the first plan is the five sick people on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The first plan is that one who is a bari, with a nefesh b'alma, one is a healthy person, they have a little tzar, a little pain, an ache and pain. The parquet, then there's an isur. There is an isur reform with the rabbana, which the chachamim instituted as a gzeir, unless the person will get carried away with himself and go and violate isur. The one chashash is shema yishachik tam. One, maybe he'll grind up the medication, that's why the Eglital has it in the left of the token. And the other hashash that Rashi mentioned in the Silver Gemara says maybe he'll apply a seer, which is also an Easter. We started to mention before that to polish the floor, to create a loose roof surface by adding on material, to polish the floor, to polish shoes, is an Easter of Mareach, which is called of Mamachik, making a loose roof surface by adding something. So let's say if I put on lotion on my hands, if I have chapped hands, and I put on lotion, I rub it in, so I'm making a smooth surface by adding something on. Or let's say I'll apply some AMD ointment on the baby and I'll smear it around, so that's an Easter of the Machet. I'm applying some Seir, I'm creating a new school service. So the post can say that that's an Easter deraita, the Chashash is the deraita. But because we're afraid that people may use some kind of a Seir, some kind of an application that's a real Malacha, the Chacham forbid all types of new school. So we make a difference. If it's very liquidy, then we allow it. Very little, because the Gemara speaks of Sikha being forbidden on Shabbos. Sikha is only also on Yom Kippur, it's only on Chamishim Yom. It's not Yom Kippur, that Sikha is allowed. So the question is, isn't Sikha the same thing as Shmir oil on the body making a loose concern? Because to say, if it depends how thick it is, it's very thick, then you have a problem of the Maria. If it's thin, then it's not. That's what Ramesh Feinstein writes in his Shuga. He's not sure how thick and how thin is considered thick and thin. And it's Chayshish on the liquid soap. Maybe liquid soap is too thick. Maybe it has to be thin. He says that maybe you should add on water to your liquid soap if you want to use it on Shabbos.
Is it problem smoothing the skin or smoothing the ointment?
No, making a new smooth surface on the body by applying the ointment.
Because with the ointment itself is smooth, and the liquid is not really changing the surface, because you know.
But doesn't it make a new smooth surface on the body? Like a 30th of an inch or so?
But it's the same as the pointy liquid, it makes it seem, but it's that, you know, it's that big.
Probably not lasting. Probably not lasting. even if it's absorbed, if you let that person put the lotion on the skin and it's completely absorbed in the skin, then that's a shayla nachrayim. Because most nachrayim are not nachrayim. Even if it's absorbed, it's still a sin. It's not allowed. It's still a problem of malachas in Maria. Maria is called that in Maria.
So again, to continue on that playing of music, of course this is a Sunday, but the Reform make a chiluk between chamber music, quiet music, and, you know, really loud, jazzy type of thing. I'm asking a third question. Is there a chiluk in what type of music, or what happens if they play records? Not music. You don't fix the bows and just put it on a tape. You don't have to adjust it. We'll let it go a whole Shabbos.
Yeah, the Gemara still says that when once they made a gzeira of mashmiya kol, so they forbid all forms of mashmiya kol, even those with a real hashash of shem yisaku kleshir doesn't apply. They forbid all forms of mashmiya kol. The second category that we mentioned before is the chayla sheibos sakon. Chayla sheibos sakon we mentioned is the chayla who is mutal mishko. Or he doesn't have to necessarily be bedridden if he walks around also, but he's a chayla kol gufa. He has aches and pains in the whole body, he's prevented from functioning normally. Not only these two people by grown-ups, that's the way we gauge it. Let's say little children are sick. So if it's a young child, and when the baby's slightly hungry, so he's going to make everybody crazy. Just didn't get his bottle on time, or didn't get his lunch on time, he's going to start screaming and ranting and raving. So that's already a chayla kol gufa. It means that it interferes with the baby's normal routine. The baby's normal routine is that he plays and he's cheerful and so on. And he can't function normally because he has this slight pain. By a grown-up person, this slight pain won't interfere with his daily routine. But the baby, because of his childish hatsar, doesn't interfere. So that's such a baby, if it's mamish, a tiny child, yonke shadayim, and it interferes with his routine, whatever his routine, when hatsar is supposed to be. And then it's also considered a chayla shem satan. That's the Rambam like that, Shin Chavchet. Even by, he quotes it from Mishani. Even by older children who are not so cranky and crazy, Poskim are not sure exactly how old, so some recent Poskim say the Shmir Shabbos becomes a court, say from the age of 7 or 8, we assume also that even though the children, let's say, they'll be a little hungry or whatever, they won't really be prevented from functioning normally. They can function in their regular routine, they won't get so, they won't overreact. Yet we assume that whenever a child doesn't feel well, we consider it already as a chayla sheibos hakana. We have whatever cool that's applied there. Where does this come from? That children, Sokhi Achtanim, are considered as a Chayla Sheimus Hakon. So the Gemara in Perikira has such a thing. Gemara says that they used to smear, the Mana Talmud was very common, used to smear the babies with oil every day. Gemara even says in Yuma that they used to smear on Yom Kippur. It's allowed to smear the babies on Yom Kippur. I is Sikha. Sikha is one of the Chavish Shemim. So the Gemara says, no, Hayim Revisa. If that's considered necessary for the health of the child, that's normal to smear the babies every day. So when Rambam says that the Bizmana we don't do it, so you're not allowed to smear the children on your kids. But the Bizmana Talmud, that was the common practice. So the Gemara had the Shabbos, HaShayla, you want to smear the baby with hot, you used to smear it with hot oil. So the Gemara give one Tana, gives the following cool, and it's a question whether we pass them like this, we'll have to discuss it soon. One Tana says the mother should pour the oil on her hand, and hold her hand near the fire, and get the oil so hot, even though she's violating an Issa Deraisa. Even though she violates an Issa Deraisa, heating up the oil, because sometimes I'm holding the Gemara that an oil doesn't have to become Yatzolet. It's so burning that the things will burn. If it becomes lukewarm, it's also Malacha Deraisa, heating up the oil. And yet the Tanna says that since this is not the normal way of heating up oil, normally how do you heat up oil? Take a pot, you put it on the fire, put it next to the fire. You put Atamais, the person smears his hands with oil, puts his hand near the fire. That's Kalacha Yat, that's like they shear. The one time it says in the Gemara that this is allowed because it's with Torah HaKotin. It was for Hetzah's with Torah HaKotin. So obviously he's of the opinion that the Kotin is considered all Torah HaKotin, all needs of the young children, infants and younger children, are considered like the Chayla Shevet HaKotin. And we allow, and we are not there, a whole area of Yisur, namely that's what we discussed last month, we are not there, not Malachas Derais, not Malachas Derabon, we are not there. So we quoted the four examples of Gzeiros that we're about. It's interesting that Rabbi Kivega also has this theme. Simon Shinzayin, Sifei, Rabbi Kivega, Frekta Akasha, and then he comes to this realization. Frekta Akasha, the Gemara said that if you have a Choyla, She'en Bo Sakona, this category, not the first category of Gori, but in Echash Lam, you have a Choyla, She'en Bo Sakona, so you're permitted to tell a Gori to do Malacha Deraisa for the Choyla. That's how Gemara says in Shabbat. Oishman called Sarah Havayinah. So the Shulchan Aruch gives an example, you're permitted to ask a Gori to heat up water,
that the person should bathe. If it's necessary, the person needs a bath in hot water, you're allowed to ask a bird to cook, which is a malacha deraita, that the choyla should bathe in the hot water. All right, I'm here with the Nachmiyaz. We're allowed to ask the guy to heat up the water, but what's matter the choyla to take the bath? Is it there in the Rabbanon that the Gemara has a pericure? You're not allowed to take a hot bath, even if the bath was filled up from Friday. If that filled up, the bath filled with hot water on Friday, I come home from shul on Friday night, and I'm going to take a hot bath on Shabbos. I'm not turning on the hot water on Shabbos. I'm not asking the guy to turn it on Shabbos. The water was heated up in Bar Yom, and still the Gemara says it's there in the Rabbanon, because they used to cook their own water on Shabbos. They made Xerus HaBalonim, that the bathhouse attendants were not so medactic in this, so the person would come on Shabbos, they were chashurim that they weren't so frum, so they were chashurim that they would heat up the water going to get another custom. So the Chachamim made Xerus, you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even though it's a happy bath. No strict of Yiki Vegas. All right, I'm forbidden to ask the goy to heat up the water for the choyla, but then how is the choyla allowed to take the hot bath on Shabbos on Yisr? So the Vegas says, no, why are you allowed to ask the goy to do it? Because I'm the Yuladachim is Xerus. Why do you allow, let's say, taking medication? That's what the Shemunot tells me. Explain the last one. What are the heterin that you have by Choyle Shemus HaKoni? You have the food is mutter, just taking a pill, a hot water bottle. Whatever, there's no malach involved at all. Just the Xera of Refuah, Xera only applies to the person who's a body with a Mechash Baal. But if he's a Choyle Shemus HaKoni, then there's no Xera of Refuah. So we're not there with Refuah. We're not there with Nachri. We're not there with Tufa the Bogan Avram says. And Yigmar says, we're not there with Mashmiya Kol. You have to put the person to sleep. The choyla has to be treated by playing music. So he wants a lot of playing music for the choyla. So the Kevegi said, what do you seek more leaf for? That they will mat the wolf zeirus. So he said, no, taking a hot bath on Shabbos, no such zeirus. But that's also included in the head. They don't mat the wolf zeirus. In fact, it's interesting. This is then, it's not a Shabbos to get this. This is a din called a terakul. Let's say a person is a choyla she'en bo sakona. A person has some kind of a sickness, and it prevents him from functioning normally. And the doctors say he has to eat some trace of food in order to get healthy again. Is he permitted to eat the trace of food or not? If he has a sakana or a suffix sakana that he may die, then you're not to eat through their ice. You can eat chometz on Pesach, you can eat on Yom Kippur. If it's a question of a matter of life and death, if there may be a suffix sakana. But if there's no suffix sakana at all, there's no sakana to any worm of his body. He will not lose, for sure, he will not lose his life, he will not lose the use of any of his limbs. He's going to be perfectly healthy. The only thing is, he has aches and pains, which prevent him, not some aches and pains, not arthritis. No, he has aches and pains that prevent him from functioning normally. He's choyle kokufa, he's mutal mishmi, he cannot function normally. So what exactly are you matim in such a case? So there's a sugi in Stachim, where Yigmar says that if I have, let's say, something which is awesome, I have oral law. I have a tree. For the first 3 years, the pears that come out of the tree are also behind law. Let's say I made some shemen from oral law. So you're not permitted to eat that shemen, not allowed to use it on a salad to eat it. Nor you're permitted to, to use that shemen to smear on the body. Using shemen to smear on the body is a form of getting hanor. That's the normal way to get hanor. Let's say I'll take something which is not normally used as hanor shel refuah. I'll take some kind of an isur there, right? So something which is also about hanor. And I'll take a wild example that more has chelav of mishor on isur. I'll take some kind of fat which is also about hanor, and I'll take that fat which is normally eaten, a goy would eat it, or you would smear leather with it, or something, you would do something normal with it. He's going to use it as a medication. He's going to use it on his open wound or something. So the Gemara says, if I have hanor in an unusual fashion from an isa deraisa, that only constitutes an isa derabara. One is nana shaloka derach hanor. A person is nana shaloka derach hanor only violates an isa derabara. Even though the food itself is trade for not third, but since his form of getting hanor was an unusual form, that's only constitutes an isa derabara. So the Gemara says that for one is a chayla shemis akana, when I had fever and he's bedridden, he shows the tzmir to the Gemara, says he has a high fever. So he's permitted, the Gemara says one half of the Gemara has it, if he has a very high fever, then it's considered chayla shemis akana, then he can do even his throat and rice, he can eat the chazam amish, if that will save his life. But let's say the person has a fever which is not so high that it should be considered the sotach sakana, but it's high enough that it prevents him from walking around, he has to rest in bed, then we consider such an individual, the Gemara says himself on the same bed, we consider such a person as the choyle shemus sakana, and we allow him to be nana from the three hanoa in a fashion shaloi gedara hanos, in an unusual fashion. So the Ran comments on that Gemara. The Ran there quotes from the Ramban of Teresor. Ramban wrote a whole book on medicine, Alpi Allah, called Teresor. So the Ramban writes in Teresor, there were those who were of the opinion, there were those who were of the opinion. Just like the Gemara allows a choyle shemus sakana, one was bedridden with the fever, to get hanoa, shaloi gedara hanoa, also from an east of their ice. Why? Because Hanoa Shalika, there are Hanoa in an unusual fashion, is only an Issa de Rabbana. So too, he can eat, let's say, something which is in Gansan or from the Rabbana. Let's have some food. What's an example? Let's say I had bread. bread that was baked in Chutzlaretz, and they were not mafishkala. The bakery wasn't mafishkala. And the chayla had to eat up the whole bread. So you can't say, let's be mafishkala, and he'll eat the rest. The chayla, the doctor said, he had to eat up the whole time. So the whole aver of eating bread when you're not mafishkala, the Chutzlaretz is only the rabban. In fact, we passed in the Gemara says in Suvim, and that's buffet that is one of there, even in Eretz.
flame, it's only an Ittah Rabbanan, why can't you extinguish the flame to help the Chodesh and Shakam? So the Miri came up with some kind of Mechumer or not. You gotta pass through one of the Terusim, you can't neglect, you can't reject all three Terusim you've left in the Akasha. So the Paskim are understood that which Teret should be accepted. This is a serious answer. So these are the first, let's say roughly speaking, these are the first two categories that we discussed. First is a person is a bari, a healthy person, rather than a beyond. But then we have the Gzeir of Rapport. We're not permitted to apply any Rapport. Even though there's no Malach involved, there's no Yalitim involved in Rapport. So look there, Shemi Yishach Salman, Shemi Yimariat Rapport. The second Chayla, the second category is a Chayla Shem Yitakana, one who cannot function normally, Chayla Kavu from Mutter Mish. Third one, we just discussed what the Din is, it's all Gzeir with Hamutter. There's a question exactly, what's called a Gzeir? Is Yideshinui. Malach of the right Yideshinui, is that called Yideshinui or not? That's Machlechit between the Mishnah Brura and the Balatam in the Egle Tal. Even the Mishnah Brura who says Yideshinui is not Yideshinui, but if Yideshinui Gomor, then he has to admit that the Matei Rishimah has to admit that that's only Yideshinui. And you would be mad at that Tochet. And what would be the din of Enoshel Kayam? That's the Siri Yashan. What would be the din of Yitzhichu Lekufo? Do you accept this Miri or not? The Shad and Pops, and how you should be Machlechit. The third category we discussed a little bit later, so the point was, a Choyle, where there's a Sakona Seiber. So there's a loss of a limb involved. He may lose his arm, he may lose his leg, and his body knows Sofik Sakana to his life. He will definitely live. The only thing is, if you'll be Mechal Shabbos now, you'll be able to save the use of the limb, and you won't be Mechal Shabbos to lose that limb. So one opinion was, you mentioned this, my one opinion was, because for the business itself is called Sakana Sefoshik, loss of life or limb. This sheet is not quoted by Allah and Shulchan. We don't pass from that sheet. Maybe we should change the psak, maybe we should be considered. But so far it hasn't been reconsidered, and he assumed that it's not considered a Sakana Sefoshik. But we assume, however, that's the Shinuch of Ches, which is done, we assume that we are more makel there than in the previous category. Chole, Sheim of Sakana is just that he's extremely uncomfortable and he can't function normally. We only are matir, there is the Rabbanon. By Chole, whether it's a Sakana, whether it's a Sakana to a limb, there's the Shulchan Ha'chash, we even allow Malach of the Rabbanon. Not only do we allow there is the Rabbanon, even allow Malach of the Rabbanon. When it comes to the fourth and the fifth category, the person's life is in danger, or may be in danger, maybe most would be in danger, or suffix are on it, so then we're not even doing their right. So the one of the curves that we learned last month, that because nefesh, and suffix because nefesh, is there came out already to return with very few exceptions. There is still, however, a possible distinction between the fourth and the fifth category. That's what the Mishnah Brura points out in fifth dalit. Shinchat ches fifth dalit, the Mishnah Brura points out the following. There is the following distinction. If the person's life is in danger, it's not that the person is sick in the hospital and they're going to give me tests and give me an operation and then check for all kinds of things and so on. But the person's life is in danger, he's running away from the Nazis and they have to give him the abonim or whoever they have to, they have to give him papers to come to Argentina, to America, whatever. So there are a lot of rights on Shabbos, whatever is necessary. It's a pikuach nefesh, but it's not a chayla. It's a pikuach nefesh. What if the person is sick in the hospital? He's a chayla shiyesh b'sakon. So there the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mari Mishnah who quotes the Rabban, who says not only are you permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for what is necessary to save the patient's life, you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos also not called for Rochav b'Shabbos. You're permitted to do whatever the patient needs. For example, let's say a Jewish patient in the hospital and he's extremely uncomfortable on Shabbos and let's say he has some kind of a serious operation, a gallbladder operation or something like that. And if they don't take care of it, he's going to die. It's a suffix sakana. Suffix sakana. So he's committed to be Mechal Shabbos to take care of the suffix sakana. What about the Mechal Shabbos for other things, other needs that the chayla has? Well, he'd like to have a hot glass of tea to feel more comfortable. Normally, a hot glass of tea, that I use oil should cook a hot glass of tea. It's like a Malach HaDeraita. I eat should cook a hot glass of tea, and Malach HaDeraita has to be Matir. And that's not going to save his life. That's not going to save his life. So the Shulchan Aruch passes in the name of the Maariv Mishnah from the Ramban, that it's permissible. Well, let's say we mentioned last week the following case. The woman gave birth to a baby, and now she has to recuperate in the hospital. Let's say she just had the baby on Shabbos. Now she wants to go to the bathroom or something. So she's permitted to push the button to call for the nurse. Let's say pushing the button turns on a light. So that's the Malach HaDeraita. So she's permitted to do that on Shabbos. There's no sakana. She doesn't think, she doesn't know it's off, it's sakana. She doesn't think she's going to die. It's just that it's extremely uncomfortable for her. How can you even matter an Ittah Deraita because it's extremely uncomfortable? You know, Kabbalah can say, has a deal of a Chol Hashem, so come on, so you might be there, I might be doing the right. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Maariv Mishnah, the name of the Ramban, that if he's a Chol, if he already is, the person is sick, there's already a Chol Hashem, Yesh B'Sakona, you're even permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, and Lachan the right, there's a Kol Tarach, for all the other things that he needs, to have a completely normal treatment. The Chassid Chaim, the Mishnah Brura, doesn't like this head. And he lists off a whole series of Rishonim who, in his opinion, disagree. He quotes the
He quotes the whole collection of Rishonim and he thinks that they will disagree. Either Ramban said there's smoothness, and he thinks the majority of the Rishonim are holding this type of kolta rachav. You only permit it in the Chal Shabbos to the extent that it may possibly contribute to saving his life. But if he needs a glass of hot water, there is a far-fetched possibility that if he doesn't get that hot water, they may be depressed and they may die. But it's such a far-fetched possibility that whenever we consider that a topic sakana. So he says that now also you're not allowed to do any cigarettes. So he thinks that you should only use this cooler, kol tzarachav. That's what the Mishnah calls the heter, kol tzarachav. You're allowed to do everything for him. He thinks you should only be mad to kol tzarachav yisurim derabbanan. He doesn't think you should use the heter kol tzarachav for any yisurim derabbanan. Because he's not convinced that it's such an accepted heter. Chaim Brisker is quoted as being mater on it. He disagreed with the Chafetz Chaim, and he said, why did he disagree? His opinion was that Rav Rishon did hold like this. Not like the Chafetz Chaim, that Rav Rishon always disagreed with the Ramban. Chaim Brisker has a velvet salvation, has a mistake on the Rambam, and Hilchot Shvita Tosa, and Hilchot Yom Kippur. He has a shtickle tariff from Chaim Brisker. He says the Rambam holds like this, and the Sefer Achinuch holds like that. These are two big, the Rambam is a big Rishon, the Rambam, the Sefer Achinuch. And then he touches on Gemaras with this, he interprets various Gemaras like this. Chaim says that he thinks he should talk like the way he says in the Shulchan Aruch, that he committed to do Kol Tzarachov by the first person who's very sick, the Chol Shev Yisakon, and not only are you allowed to do an Yisra Deraisa, Alei Yisrael, that save his life, and you're thinking that it may save his life, because you don't think that what you're going to do is going to save his life. So your letter is allowed to push the button to have the nurse take care of her, even though she doesn't think that her life is a sakana at all. That's what Chaim said. And when Chaim was asked, how can he be such a mekel? How can he mekel after all about Chaim all the time? But that's the famous line that Rabbi quotes from Chaim. He asked my father, how can he be mekel? So he said, he's not being mekel, he's being machmer pikuach nefesh. That's what he says when he gets to this din. This is the shadow of Kol Tzarachov. That's the shadow of Allah, how you pass. I think most people are machmer. Most of the time you don't realize what the situation is, we have no time to think it out. But when a person is like Yitzhak and he thinks to them, he has to shayla, most Rabbanim are machmel with the Mishnah Berurah. And others not. There is a minority who follow Rav Chaim's Tzach, follow the din in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's a mitzvah, Kol Tzarachov is a mitzvah. Last month, I'll close with this topic. Last month, the question was brought up, what do we do with those sicknesses or diseases that are mentioned in the Gemara as being labeled as a takana? Gemara says that a person has some kind of an ache or pain, oh, you have to go immediately to the Hal Shabbos, so he may lose his life. And what about the doctors today say there's nothing wrong, you can wait another 5 years and he's not going to die? What do we do with such a situation? So many poskim are of the opinion, that's how the Shmir Shavsky will call the Bach. The Bach says like that, and many poskim say like this, so whatever state the Gemara, there's a takana, you consider even today as a takana, even though the doctors say that. And then whatever the doctors say today, the sakana is also a sakana. Whatever the doctors have to say in the sakana, we add on more coolness. But we don't take away the coolness that are found in it. I mentioned last month that this is very difficult. I just want to elaborate a little bit on this. But the pashtus is not like that very well. We don't really pass like that. It's actually a Shabbos kochos. It's very difficult. The Mishnah Berurah has the following, in Hilchas Mila. Yes, Hilchas Shabbos, Shin Lam Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch quotes what we mentioned before, that the Mishnah Talmud was common to have hot water to wash the baby prior to the bris, in order to prevent the infection, and then to wash the baby with hot water following the bris also, to prevent the right to prevent infection. It's not that we don't have that problem, so the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't do that. We don't wash off the baby before with hot water after the bris. We don't use hot water, we use something else instead. We use medicine. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that we use other medicines instead. And he doesn't say that we have less. He doesn't say that there's less problem of infection because the conditions are cleaner today. That people are cleaner, the bodies are cleaner, so there's less chashash of infection. He says nishtanu hatzvoyim. Mishnah Berurah says that today the situation is different. That there are sicknesses that the Zman HaGemara will consider the sakonis. And in times of the Gemara, if a baby would have had a bris milah on Shabbat, even if you don't see that there's anything, the baby had a bris milah on Friday or on Thursday, we would go and cook hot water on Shabbos to wash the baby off, even though we don't see that the baby is sick at all. The Zman HaDeni Mishnah Berurah says we don't do that, not because we have other things instead, we have alcohol or whatever, and not because there's better hygienic conditions and there's less chashash of infection. He says, but because nishtanu hatroi. Now the concept of nishtanu hatroi is found in the Rishayim in many different places. The Gemara has in the end of the second parak in White Cup, the Gemara says that the fish taste better if you keep them not refrigerated for a week or two. Basically says that his man is there, not self, his man is there, keep it wicked too, you eat it, you're gonna get sick. Okay, so says the outcome. The book says in the Shtana Hatzvah, things are different today, somehow. At the times of the Talmud, things were in one direction, and his man is there, different conditions, different climates, different times of the history of the world, whatever, reports it. And Nigmar has Kohenim and Kohenim, there's a whole list of it. I'm not interested that the Kibbutz Israel discusses whether the Mitzvah is necessary at all. When you do a Brit Milah, the Nigmar says the Boyle has to do the Mitzvah right away after the Milah because of Chashash Takona. So the Kibbutz Israel on Perkab Lodz the Milah collects all of the Mogan Avram, where he says that Bizman is there, many things have changed, it's not fine. We don't have to follow what it says in the Gemara with respect to many medical things. Mogan Avram says it having if you have a cut open. Cut open an onion, you left it out overnight, the Gemara says it's the sakana to use it the next day. The Magen Avraham says that the manna that doesn't apply to the Shana Kohen. There are many things like that. Magen Avraham has a bit of a collection, so the very soul is a whole collection of questions. So the Pashtun says when it comes to medicine, we also subscribe to that it is possible to have the Shana Kohen. That's Mishnah Berurah and Shimon Ravah, it's called Magen Avraham. The question is, who is to establish whether it's the Shana Kohen? How do you know? If you see that it's so, you see from daily practice that people are not dying from the sickness, okay? So we realize on our own that Nishtana Fun. Everybody knows. Common sense. What if we don't know? I don't know. I know what the state, I just know what it says in the morning, that's the Sakana. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, and it says in the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, that the teeth are falling out of something, that's the Sakana, Sakana, and it's the Michal Shah. Then I go to my local doctor, and he tells me I'm there to be told, he doesn't know what it says anymore, but the man is there, that's not a Sakana Sakana. Can I take the doctor's word for the matter? It's not common knowledge of this Nishtana Fun. Can I take a doctor's word? So this is a big deal in the Akhrain. If it's Kachuman, you're a day, yeah. And Chasnida discusses this. Sometimes you have a Shannon, El Chasnida, or the Daman Amokhid, not Daman Amokhid, very in detail, El Chasnida. So, to what extent can you rely on the gut? So, the Chasnida quotes strange posts, who say that, reports of many good apostles, many good apostles, that the medical science is not too exact, and they don't really know what they're talking about, they're not guessing, and so whatever the doctor says, don't need to talk. We only treat it like a topic. Now, how can you say it's only a topic, say, to Chasn Sefer? There's a fairish in the dinim that if a doctor says that the person is the sakana, you machal shav to save his life. How can you machal shav to save his life? Maybe the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. And he says, that's right, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. So it's a sakana sakana sakana. It's a sakana, whatever the doctor says in the sakana. If I eat sakana sakana, it's a sakana sakana, it's not to be machal shav. If I'm eating on Yom Kippur, the doctor says you better give him food because he may die if you don't give him food. So we treat it as if it's a sakana. Whatever the doctor says, it's a sakana, it's not about it. But the matter of nidah lebaylo to say that the doctor really knows what he's talking about, that she's not a nidah, it's a mako or something, he says he doesn't know what he's talking about. We treat it like a doctor. How do they know? How do they get this idea that yes, a doctor and you don't take a birth cert? The Gemara seems to say like that. Nidah dafkof based on the day, the Gemara quotes a perceptor that there was a shayla woman had a rock with the shayla of a nidah. So they asked the doctor, and the doctor says it's nothing to do, it's not damna mako. And then it says that they went on their own very way and they made an experiment on their rabbana, made an experiment on their own to see if it was damna nidah. So the Akhrenim asked Kakashim, why didn't they take the doctor's word for that she's not a leader? That's not something more. The reason the doctor says that it's not a leader, you don't take the doctor's word. That's what it is. So this is the Rosh Hashanah Gemara. It gives a difference. He asked Kakashim, why didn't they take the doctor's word? And he doesn't answer because you don't think the doctors are not reliable. He says that that the doctors recommend to make that test. What if the Rabbonim has that Kabbalah that you make this test? That you take the woman with maple chunks of red stuff. They didn't know what it was, so the doctors recommended to put it in warm water to see if it was liquefied or stay in a solid state. So this was when the doctors recommended to forget they did listen to the doctors. The person Rosh says that you do listen to doctors. All the Achrayim didn't have the person Rosh, it was only printed first and was only shot, but they all assumed that that's a step to quote in the Gemara. They're telling us not to rely on that. Even without the Taisis HaRosh, several of the Achrayim who felt that this was inconceivable to say such a thing that you shouldn't rely on doctors, that whatever the doctor says, oh yeah, so it's very sure, how can you say such a thing? So they reinterpreted the Gemara. So the Maharshan has a tshuva where he quotes, and he heard in the name of Rav Chaim Balozhin, and he heard also in the name of Rav Yankel Kaliner and Mishkan Zyanger, that they both made a correction in that Gemara. Rav Yankel Kaliner, yeah, and the tshuva is Kohelos Yankel, we have this tshuva, he said that the Rav Chaim Balozhin, we don't have this, the Maharshan says he heard in the name of Rav Chaim Balozhin. They both made the same hagor in the Gemara, that there's a misprint in the Gemara, that the Gemara has a run-on paragraph. The Brisa should really be like this. They ask the doctor said the woman is Tahira, and they pass me Tahira, period. That's the end of the first story. Then the Gemara says, Tatala Mayim, that she should experiment with the dam, and then comes in a new paragraph, which refers back to a Mishnah leader, and not a connection with the story before. This is the way it's generally accepted, the Gemara. We assume the Haskama, the later Paschimans, that we assume the doctors do have a liability. Not that whatever the doctor says is the suffering. It's interesting that even the Talmud of the Chacham says, Ram Sheikh, who was such a close Talmud of Chacham Sofer, says he can't believe that his Rebbe said such a thing. Quote the Lord Chacham Sofer, he says, he can't understand, how can anybody say this? He says, the Pharisee Mishnah, because the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that if I shoot somebody, and the victim, the murder victim, lingers on for a while until he finally dies, the doctors have to make an omen to determine whether he really died Mako Tamako, Or he died from some other sickness. If he died, they give me mitzvah, they give me oinish mitzvah. This is Hakadah Rebbe said, Chassam Sefer said, one of his children, doctors who only have pneumonia, it's an abstract that such a disease exists, or such a thing exists, but they don't have pneumonia on any particular instance. That's the tie chop this case, or this diagnosis case. A diagnosis on a specific instance that a doctor gives is treated like a topic. But they say abstract, we take the word. So, Frechta, how can you say like that? They have a very shenishna that if the doctor say he died, he gives me sit to the retail. They have a very the doctor of the So, the other Rachmanim say no, they detect that some say, they say no, that the mission that there is a cost. That the Pasuk says, the Pasuk not say, Bed and Yan Hiko, who Asha Yom is born. It says in the Chumash that if I kill a person, the Kli, with an instrument that was strong enough to cause death. So, Shteta HaPasuk in the Torah that has to be strong enough to cause death. And how do you know if it's strong enough to cause death? So, that's the there is a cost that you rely on doctors. They don't call it our Kula, you won't. So the other Rachmanim say, what do you mean? If the Torah says over here, you do rely on the doctors, so learn a mama thing. The Torah says over here, so learn a mama thing. Then the Marashik quotes happen, they say, there's no mama thing. The Mishnah hasn't given the same thing. In the Mishnah given, there is no positive. The Mishnah says, a man is about to die. And he gives his life again. He says, if I die from this sickness, I raise the Gittin. If I don't die from this sickness, but I die from some other cause, the Gittin should not be chal. And then he dies, and we can't tell whether he died from he got pneumonia on the side, or he died from the cancer. We don't know what was the cause of death. So yes, the doctors, and if the mission says, if the doctor says he died from that sickness, the get is a get, and the woman is not kukula yid, she's not kukula halit. You see, the perish of the mission, not only is it by Isaiah, but there is a cousin of Pasha's not, but every year he called Asha Yom as well. It's in Kola Perakula, that's what the Maram Shikta is, in Kola Perakula, we assume the doctors have a livelihood. So the Pasha's over here should be like that. So we, I'll be Pasha's, we assume the doctors have an amor, we assume that they know what they're talking, that's what the Rova Poskim is doing, after the Sunday. Our first assumption that they do have reliability, not that whatever they say is just treated like a topic. And we also assume that there is such a thing as Mishtanu Hasvoy. The Mishnah Berurah himself passes over here by Chaloyim, by the Shin Lam and Aleph, by the thing that we're not the Chal Shabbos anymore to cook the Avor, because that's not considered a topic Sakon at all. So if you put the two together, let's say a doctor will say there's such a thing, even though the Gemara describes the sickness. The doctor will say that it's not a Sakon, even if the Gemara says it is a Sakon, the Pasha should be that we should assume that it's Mishtanu Hasvoy. Yes, the posh of shot in the perception is that they asked the doctor to take his word.
I had something last week about the strafe, about the deterioration of the tissue and so forth. I asked my son, who's studying medicine, he says, by cancer, not only is there deterioration of the tissue, there's no tissue, there's no liver left. Is that called a strafe? You didn't make a comment last week.
Is. The question, how do we define the difference between a trefa and a gosis? A gosis is one who's about to die. He was a person who's dying. He's already 120 years old. Probably by Sefer Chacham, I'm 120 years old. He's about to die.
But cancer, leukemia, all of these things, it's a sure thing. Unless they find a cure. Well,
sure, a sure thing that he's going to die, you can consider him a gosis. But what gosis is kachai? When do you consider a person a trefa? So the Mishnah asked that question. So they say something to the effect of tissue damage. The Sheikh Yukubet doesn't go to such a gosis. Yes, that's some kind of tissue. That's somebody dying from old age because of genetics. He's dying from some deterioration of the body. Right? So that should be considered a trait.
Cancer would be trait.
I think so. I'm not sure. I think it should be a trait. I think that's a good.
Did you
attend Shekhar Bipasa without trait being a Machal Shabbos? That's the question. Are you permitted to be Machal Shabbos or a trait? So the Machal Shabbos, I looked a little bit. I didn't look too much. The Machal Shabbos raises the question. I admitted to do any Surin Torah to save the life of a trait. First, he argues that not. Shouldn't be allowed to God. It's similar. It's not. It's good for him because that's all logic. Then he turns around because of a raya that he has from his mom's Yuma. And the raya is not accurate. If you look for the raya, it's not accurate raya. So the pashtus is that the original hachacha was a good hachacha. I didn't have a chance. I'm sure that there are many achrayim who discuss. Just as a footnote to this last topic, there's a very startling ramor. And I spoke to Rabbi Cohen about it. This week, the Ramah and Ebenezer, the end of Ebenezer in the Kufn of God, has a thing that people are not aware of. The Gemara says that the Zman HaTalmud, a full-term pregnancy of a woman would be when she completed the full 9 months. It's not enough. A 9 month pregnancy means into the 9th month, after 8 full months. Into the 9th month, have to have 9 full months. The Machlokes in the Gemara, what's considered a full-term pregnancy? But she has to have a full-term in the sense after the 8 month is completed, into the 9th month, and after the 9th month is completed. And Machlokes is the Ramah and the Rabbah has asked, and we assume, in the Shulchan Aruch, we already assume 9 full months. Yes, I've been to the 10th month. 9 full months. Comes the Ramah, the end of Ebenezer, and he says, so not so. But that could be Bismarck Gemara, Bismarck Ramah, Bar Rambam. But Bismarck Azeb, Bismarck Azeb. When the Ramah lived in the 1500s, he quotes from the Sefer Tashbeis, he says that Mishtanu HaTroy, that the doctors have said that Bismarck Azeb is not so, that if a baby is born in a nice mind, the baby has a very good chance of living. It's not that the child will be an angel. And you pass the halacha lemaisa like that. The halacha usually says that the child is born before the pregnancy is completed, and the child doesn't live for 30 days, it's considered an angel, and if the baby was born dead. If a child is born after a full nine-month pregnancy, and then it dies an hour after it's born, so that's considered a bar kayom, and it dies. Even if it dies the day that it was born, and then after it's born, and then it still has a shiva, you have a bailiff, you have all the things considered that it's a bar kayom. But if the baby was born before the 9 months were up, and it didn't last 30 days, then we say that the boy was not afraid, it's considered as if it were never born in the first place, as if it were born dead. So the Ramah says, and I'm learning the Kufman Vah, that the man is not so. But the doctor said, whatever it is, the man is not so. And all you need is into the 9th month. The Ramah is Mako. Not a woman, I must make a lot of life and hilka khalitza like this. That's the case. A man dies without any children. And then after the husband dies, the wife has a baby. The baby only lasts for 1 day, and the baby dies right away. The baby never lasts for 30 days. And the baby was born in the 9th month. In the 9th month, so we would usually assume that the baby has to live 30 days in order to establish a Zubar Kayama. And then the woman will be turned into a chalitza, and she wouldn't have to have chalitza. The Ramah's Mekel, he says, no, she doesn't need chalitza even if the baby is born in the 9th month, as long as you have 8 full months, because it's not as dead, it's not as far. It's negate the Hilchas Avel, such a thing should come up in the Hilchas Avel, when a baby should be born in the 9th month, and die within 30 days, so it's usually accepted that it's not there. That's what it says in the Yeruday, Hilchas Avel. According to this Ramah, it should not be so. But I mean, Abe has a shuv about that, he explained why the Avel is still negate. It's a very difficult shuv. But it's clear from this Ramah that, first of all, that we assume that the doctors say we give them an amount, we assume that they know what they're talking about, it's not considered a topic. And secondly, we assume that the Shtana Tzvoim, if the doctor says something against the Gemara, we have a right to assume that even if the Shtana Talmud went one way, the Shtana said, things have changed a little bit. The Gemara Skye said, I wrote that, is that on the Gemara Kazakh? The Gemara Skye said, it's true, they're not a Shaila. There's no time to go into it now. Let's say you'll have a case of Shnai Shor Su. Let's say it'll be necessary if there's a patient, the doctor has to check the patient's heart or something. So to carry him, you should survive with him along the way. So what about Shnayim Shasu? If they have 2 people, carry the doctor's handbag, if it's light enough for 1 person to carry. The Shnayim Shasu, the Gemara says, is Chatas and Chatas. There's no mitzvah if you do the mazes, there's no Chatas if you do the shogun. The question is that a mitzvah deraisa just as true for the Onesh, or is that only a mitzvah derabbana? So the Yeshua says, and the Shabbos don't feel, but that's a mitzvah deraisa. Shnayim Shasu is only a true for Shabbos. It's only true for Moshe. It's not that it's Moshe like this. And the Gemara Skye shows you show me that it's not so, that it's not a famous movement. The question is, how would you label that? Would that be a Zayla Dilba? Would that be a Malacha Dilba? That's a further question. It has to be investigated a lot. All the cases of Pater Avalasa, let's say, Kalahayat, Agdeshina, was Machlaikis between the Mishnah Guru and Salatani. What about Ein Tzvich Lebufon? What about Shein Shul Kayam? What about all the various terms that you have in Hilchos Shabbos? Do you label them all Kofanim as Malacha Dilba? Or do they even go down lower Madrega that they're not even Malacha, they're only Zayla Dilba? But the Shadai Dan is on the Mitzitza itself. The whole Mitzitza is really an act of Kabbalah. If you draw out Dan from any living person, it's a Mitzitza the rights of Kabbalah. It's only Mutzah the Mokka Mitzvah. Let's say you make a Mitzvah, but the Mokka Mitzvah you're out. Or if an operation is Mutzah, or if it's necessary for a fool. If the Tzol is right, then the Mitzvah is not really necessary for a fool, because you have other ways of preventing infection. It shouldn't be a lot of the Mitzitza, they call the Shah. It's a big problem. It's a very big problem. I don't know, speaking there. Thank you.